You know, back when I was in the academy, we would follow every toast with a song.
You just need more bits per second, megs per hour, gigabytes per year.
Yeah, all those.
All those.
I just need a really, like, we need just a can on both end with a
very long
fiber optic, like a fiber optic line running between them. That's how telecommunications work, right, James?
It is. It's true. If reading books by Andy Weir has told me anything.
Yeah, there you go. So that's all we need.
And love.
It's those things.
And love is all we need.
And love. And love. Love. True love. Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
James.
Nick.
James. Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork episode 172. So, James, today the Falcon Heavy launched.
Oh.
Yeah, SpaceX got that fucker to work. And I was trying to explain it to Carol. Carol's like, so what's who cares? I'm like, okay, well, it's the most powerful rocket ever built by human beings. Its test flight worked. All right, so it didn't explode. That's amazing. Secondly, its boosters disengaged and then landed themselves.
Oh.
Yes.
That's impressive. They didn't just dump themselves in the ocean.
Right. And currently, the capsule is on trajectory to put Elon Musk's car into orbit for millions of years.
That's useful?
I guess. The radio's playing Bowie. No, it's not that. It's a different song.
Oh. Let's dance. No. Put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
I think it's from Ziggy Stardust. I don't
Let's don't wait.
Let's see. Ziggy played guitar. Let's see. Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. What's the track list on here? Somebody's yelling it at me right now. This is what's playing. Don't look at that. I'm yelling it at you right now.
Oh, man. I hate it when I listen to Red Stick podcasts and I'm like yelling. Oh, well, any podcast, really, but happens a lot when I listen to Red Stick podcasts. And they're like, what was the name of that guy? He was in that one movie. And I was like, fucking David Warner. David Warner. You know, whatever.
I think they do that to fuck with you, man.
John Smith, Wealth of Nations. No, it's Adam Smith. Adam Smith. John Locke. Adam Smith.
Okay, so that test launch cost $90 million.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not with the equipment. That's just launching it.
Oh.
Like, that's what it costs per launch.
Okay. Well. So if you win the Powerball. You can take a trip.
Well, it's not going to launch people.
You can send your basketball up for a trip.
I guess. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. For fuck's sake. Come on. Like he had talked about like launching it, right? With like using it to launch people. Like he's like, I'm going to use it to send a group of space tourists around the moon. Right?
Yeah.
And now he's like, no, just stuff.
Stuff around the moon.
Stuff and things to stuff. That's what I want to do. As I want to just put stuff on space.
We've got, I mean, that's okay. That's interesting. Every time anything goes up into space, there's stuff up in space, you know? It's like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, bring it back and sell it? It's like, this thing's been in space, you know? It's like, big deal. I've seen a Titan V rocket that's been out in space.
Yeah.
Or much of it, anyway.
Well, now I think he's going to just, like, launch, like, payloads and shit. Like, you've got a guy, you know, private rocket ships. So, welcome to the future there. But now he can, like, start putting his own, like, space stations and shit up. Because, like, Trump is being a dickhole and, like, I'm not going to put money into the International Space Station. What's the point? Ugh. No one I could fuck up there. So, I think it opens things up perfect for somebody to go, oh, you know what? Let's do a private space station. And I think Elon Musk is just the personality to do it. Something like what the Justice League has.
Oh, like the Watchtower?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to put like a big laser beam on it too so he can like shoot targets on Earth?
I mean, I would. Right?
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, because if you're that far out in space, I mean, what under what jurisdiction does that fall, you know?
No one's.
No
one. You're the god now.
Yeah, it's like being, you know, more than three miles out to sea, except like there's very little chance of the Coast Guard accidentally running across you.
Who could stop you?
While you're trying to like marry some, you know, a monkey to a rhinoceros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're married now. Married. As I said so. Maritime law. Yeah. I mean, if you plan it enough.
Planet.
And you've got like you've got your own rocket and you're a billionaire. You know, you like for every launch that people pay for, you just add a little something to it.
Right.
Yeah. Cause that capsule's big. And they can launch 140,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Of cargo.
Yeah, and if you sell off like 130,000 for profit, then like you can use an extra 10,000 pounds to put anything you want up there. You can put your car up there.
What you do is you tell the public that it can hold 100, it can launch 140,000 pounds when in fact it can launch 200,000. And then every single launch that's paid for by dildos who think you know you've calculated it right, but you've actually added in your own. Every launch goes up and it puts another piece of your space station up there until one day. The public looks up and they see a new star in the sky and it's your goddamn space station.
And it's shaped like a middle finger.
And on that next launch, you go up and you stay up.
Maybe with a concubine.
Mm-hmm. And you flush your toilet so like it drops out, but on the perfect arc, like you could calculate it. So if I flush here.
But flush it in 14 seconds, it'll land on Pyongyang.
Yeah. Well, the way it works is it's flushed into a capsule made of those tiles from the space station or the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And so it
they survive reentry.
Right. And then once you know once it's past you know the heat part where it all heats up, it's past reentry. The tiles fall away, and you're like icy block of shit. You know. The trajectory is aimed to hit whatever target you want. You could program it to like just dump your shit on the White House lawn every day. There'd be these big old divots appearing in the front lawn. Secret Service is freaking out. What another one of those things hit? Where are they coming from? What is it?
We've had them analyzed.
It's poo.
It's poo. It's human poo.
Yeah, dude. And since you know they're going to be analyzing it, what you do is you take a little Lego minifig and you swallow a piece of it a day. So if they're analyzing it, they put it together, and it's just a little... But again, it's a Lego man. within the little spacemen from the original space, because he can afford them. You can find them on eBay. They're like $10 a piece.
Yeah,
I think that may be really underbidding that for the original space Lego minifig.
Oh, the original one? Yeah, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, you know, I looked on eBay once for a particular figure. I can't remember which one, but I was like, oh, that'd be neat to have for my desk. And it was like prohibitive. Like I was like, oh, I don't want it that bad.
Was it more expensive than Carol's hair?
I don't think so, but like,
that's my watermark now.
Well, I mean, dude, like, but that's like, hey, here's your, you know, here's, this is hair forever. And the other one's like a little teeny tiny minifig.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's durable.
Yeah. But I mean, again, it's like, you know, like one is my wife walking, look how pretty my hair is. And the other one is like, yeah, this is $10.
Okay, that's cool then.
That's not too bad. Here's a set of six for $35.
That's a bargain at half the price.
Right? Yes. Here's a lot of six for 30, another lot of six for 35. Okay, so here's a lot of 148 minifigures. $296 plus $10 shipping.
Yeah, that's
and then underneath like $2, it says like $2
a figure.
It says underneath it says benefits charity.
I love the space, the specificity.
Yeah, so buy it. Buy it for charity.
Mae Jemison got her own Lego figure.
Who?
I just found out. Mae Jemison, she was the first African-American female to go into space.
Oh, wasn't she on Star Trek, too?
She was on Star Trek. Actually, she got called back to my consciousness because... it was their Star Trek lives. So it was like this person was, you know, had a thing on Star Trek, but she actually got a Lego figure for her other job. What was that job? It was like Mae Jemison.
Hmm.
Which, you know... being a science teacher of largely black children, I have brought up Mae Jemison a time or two to my class.
Are you taking your class to see Black Panther?
Maybe if they're good enough.
Like,
I don't have initial plans right now. It is. But it's not opening. It's opening over Mardi Gras break. So.
Well, I mean, it'll be easier later.
It'll be easier later
when it's not full. Yeah. Because, like, the first review I read of it. Was somebody who went to the premiere, and he looks like me. He's a middle-aged white dude, and he's like, I left this movie feeling like a proud black man. So okay. I gotta think that's good for your kids.
Yes, because they'll all feel like proud black men, even if they're not.
Like, even if they're Asian.
But yeah. Most of the kids are black. None of them are, I mean, some of them would consider themselves men, but none of them are men.
But like, that's a hell of a moment, dude. Like, so up till now, let's say you got a little black kid coming out of Iron Man. He's like, I'm Tony Stark, right?
Right.
So you're going to have this little suburban white kid coming out and going, I'm T'Challa. And his mom's like, what's a T'Challa? And he's like, oh, he's a billionaire and a genius.
And I'm like, oh, well, I've heard enough.
Well, that's neato. And the kid gets the first off, they've made a adult Black Panther mask that actually looks pretty good.
There's like a penis on it? Oh, you mean what? Adult sized. Okay, yeah, I gotcha.
Yes, it's adult size. Yeah, it's got a big dildo strapped to the chin. But no.
Strapped to the chin. Which direction would it be facing?
Facing down. It's like a okay. Beard on a pharaoh.
That's not what I was picturing.
Who do you think it was on the nose or on
top? No, like you said strapped to the chin. I was thinking like going like straight out, you know? So like you just kind of... Anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm thinking of like this. I've seen chin strap dildos. They had one in Reno 911. They go into this whorehouse and this dude's tied to the bed and he's got... The dude that ended up playing the... I think he ended up paying the principal on Community. So he's a little bald dude. Yeah, slightly effete, and he's got a chin, a dildo strapped to his chin. Like it goes behind the head and everything. Like it's made to do this. It's made to strap to your chin, and he's all tied down. So like it exists solely to get chin fucked. There was a need, and it was answered. But yeah, this is all suburban white kid. It's like, I'm T'Challa, blah, blah. Like, I'm a superhero. And that superhero happens to be black. Not only black, but like super African. And he was in a movie that was almost all black people. The only white people are evil monsters. It's like a Spike Lee film, but like with superpowers.
Holy shit. I'm gonna have to. That's a really good take on it. I'm definitely. I mean, it's not like I don't already have my tickets. I have my fucking tickets, so I'm definitely seeing it. But yeah.
But it's, you know, so that whole side of like there's been a lot of press about how, you know, all these community activists and teachers and leaders are like paying for black kids to go see the movie just because it's an awesome moment, right?
Yeah,
and that's empowerment. That's a big side of it. The other side of it is that there's a generation of white kids growing up where like there is a really awesome black superhero that they look up to, and that changes a conversation. That changes your point of view.
Yeah,
like hard. There's not like, you know, like Luke Cage is nice, but he lives in Harlem.
Yeah,
you know, he's got like Spider-Man problems.
Well said. We're about paying the rent. We're worried about, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I guess all of them worry about people that are close to them. But, like, you know, they worry about people that are close to them. They're, like, having problems with, you know, they don't have jobs. Or they got, like, you know, they're being threatened by, like, run-of-the-mill gangsters or, you know, just, like, thugs on the street or whatever.
And then you've got Black Panther, who defends an entire nation. But it's also the most scientifically advanced nation on Earth. It's so advanced that it keeps itself secret. His tech is better than Tony Stark's tech. Like, he's equipping Captain America. Like, you know, like, he's like, oh, Bucky, you lost your arm? I'm going to make you a better arm. There you go. Oh, yeah. Thanos is coming? You're going to need my help. Like, that.
Exactly.
It's just a very, culturally, it's a really important flick. Even if it wasn't written by the guy who wrote it, you know, whose whole outlook on his, like, Ta-Nehisi Coates, like, his whole outlook on his blog site, he started knocking off hate speech real quick, real early on. I mean, people would hop on and go, blah, 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 blah. He would delete it. And he's very active on his site, right?
Yeah.
By doing that, he developed a community that would get into discussions, but with the understanding that it's going to be civilized or you're removed. And he wouldn't get, you know, hyped up. He's very conscious about when I'm there and I'm engaging, I'm not allowed to like just yell at people and call them dickholes. That's not what this is for. And when he started writing his Black Panther series, he continued that idea. He did it to create dialogue. Exactly. And I think that version of Black Panther is the one that has made it on screen. So, yeah, I'm more hyped about it than I would have thought I'd been if you'd have said to teenage me, hey, man, you're going to be really hyped for the Black Panther movie. I'd be like, it's a what now? Is he that guy in the Super Friends that's elect? No, that's Black Vulcan. Huh. So last night, moving to other movies, last night I watched Ant-Man with Carol.
Is that the sequel to Ant-Man and the Wasp? Oh, Ant-Man. With your wife, Carol.
Shut up, James. So I watch Ant-Man with Carol because I'm trying to get her caught up on all the movies.
That's a fun ride. I was doing that with Jane last year before something came out. I don't know.
Yeah. So it got to the part where Falcon appeared, and she's like, oh, that's Falcon? I was like, yeah. Oh, you haven't seen him because he was in Winter Soldier.
And she hasn't seen Winter Soldier yet?
No, she's toward the tail end of phase two.
Well, that's why we watch things in order, Nicholas.
Well, I've seen them.
I know, but if you're going to have her watch Ant-Man, you have to have her watch Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get her back into, like, we're going to watch a movie every night. And so to get her, she like last night, I was like, well, you know, hey, we were kind of done with the day by 7:30, which is a miracle. And I was like, hey, we got a little time. We should watch a movie. Okay. Normally by the time we get in bed at like 10, she's like, I would just watch the show. I don't feel like really paying attention for 2 hours. And then we watch like 3 hours of shows. So I'm like, well, we'll watch a movie. And then that gets the ball rolling. So tonight we can watch whatever. Or we may go out of order and watch Spider-Man Homecoming because I haven't seen that yet.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I know. You told me, and you told me to keep an eye out for a special moment. And you said, you'll know when it happens, and you'll know when I watch it because I go, I think I saw the moment. I think the moment happened.
Did you not making any comments.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Mostly.
Did you see the new spot for Age of Ultron or Infinity War?
Yes, I did see that.
Nothing really new there.
Not really. There was a little bit extra shot of Spider-Man taking his hat off.
Yeah.
Or mask, I guess is what they call
and
it.
And him like stuck the inside of that big old portal.
Right.
But yeah, nothing really awesome there. Although the Solo trailer dropped. Did you watch that?
I saw the 45-second thing that dropped, and then I saw the 2-minute thing the next day.
Yeah, I put it up on the Facebook page.
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
Yeah, that looks like fun. If it doesn't suck dick holes. Like, they put together a good trailer. But
yeah, a good trailer does not make a good film make, but, you know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people going, you know, this guy can't act. That's the problem. So, we'll see. Although it was cool to see a clean Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But you also want to go, hey, man, so like from the time you got it to when you meet up with them, like 10, maybe 20 years later, you really let that thing go. I mean, like if you got it spotless and then you're just like a dirty dog, you and your giant space Irish wolfhound like wandering around and you just not cleaning the thing. At some point, you got to smuggle a bunch of like cleaning supplies. You can grab a bottle of fucking Febreze and some towels and, you know, just let's
some Formula 409.
Yeah, man. Whatever your space scrubbing bubbles are, there's got to be a robot to do that. Like, there has to be a cleaning robot. Right?
Yeah. There's plenty of them. There's like, wait, have we seen a cleaning robot?
I don't think we have. We've seen protocol droids. We've seen whatever that little toaster thing is. Although, I don't know what I don't know what its purpose is.
I think it actually carries messages.
Why would it? Is it like clandestine messages? Do they not have texting in a galaxy far, far away?
Well, when they thought of when they thought of all that stuff, that was before texting was a thing. Or maybe it carries encryption keys for messages, but not the actual messages themselves.
I think it's just delivering lunch.
Hey, and then a toast pops up.
Right?
Right.
It is a toaster. And inside of it, it's got like meat and cheese. And then it arrives, and a little slot pops out with your meat and cheese on it. And there goes a toast. You put it together yourself, and then it drives off. It's not the best robot, but, you know. Max down in IT put it together and everybody kind of likes him. He's a little slow, but he's good. He's good with the computer. He had to put that fucking thing together. Remember when those rebels got on and they shot the console because he was trying to pretend. Yeah. One of them shot that up and Max put it together. It took him like 2 days, but he got it back together. So we're kind of like let the whole toaster robot thing slide. It makes a mean sandwich, a little rolling panini machine, but
panini. You know,
it's more for Max.
Oh, I could use a panini right now.
And paninis are good.
That sounds like a euphemism for penis when I say it like that.
Panini.
Panini.
Because it's your penis voice. You say penis.
Panini. It's a panini. I got into a Twitter match with a friend of mine one time. Not a Twitter match, but we were going back and forth. How Jawas would order a bunch of things, you know, because they're like Utini. And what kind of sandwich would a Jawa eat?
Panini.
What kind? What's a? How would a Jawa point out that a woman is wearing a two-piece bathing suit.
Bikini!
Yeah, that went on for a while.
What's its favorite drink?
Martini!
No, it likes Fanta. I live in the desert.
Want a Fanta?
I don't drink a lot of... Want a Fanta? It's so good. Have a Fanta right now. It's so yummy. You know, you should have a Fanta right now. Now.
There needs to be more commercials in Star Wars. That's all I need to say.
Yeah, they don't drink alcohol there. It's a desert. You're dehydrated as fuck. Just these big, you know, soda shop. That's what the cantina is. You go in and it's just like shop. No droids. So you know how much liquid's in here? I mess them up and I'm not paying to fix it. Now, what do you like? Milkshake. Chocolate or vanilla? Can you have strawberry? What the fuck's a strawberry? This shit again. They got like three songs. I've tried to complain, but they don't have ears. And they work cheap.
You know what the name of that genre of music that Fingrin Dan and the Modal Notes plays?
I do, and I can't fucking remember right now, so fuck you.
No, it's like jazz, except they substituted the A with an I.
Jizz. Jizz, yes. Because when we finish the song, we come. Everybody comes. It's like an 8-hour song. It just kind of repeats, and by the time it's finished, everybody's like, oh, thank God. That's why the song that follows it's so laid back. Mop it up your jizz up. Mop it up. That's a filthy place. What a hive of scum and villainy and jizz. Ugh.
I'm fine.
See, that's why Jabba had the grating on this floor. It wasn't, you know, just so you could, like, feed the rancor. It was like, yeah, just, you know, get one of them push brooms, one of those push squeegees, and just push it all in there. There you go. Spread some more of that sand around. Soak it up. That last orgy was gross. Like, where does Jabba come from? Because, like, and I don't mean, like, what planet. I mean, like, where does his semen? Yeah, dude. They lay eggs, right?
I have no idea. I honestly do not.
Somewhere, I want to say I read that Hutts lay eggs. Like, there was a whole episode of Star Wars, Clone Wars, where they're trying to get Jabba Hutt's, like, nephew or something. And I didn't watch it. I just saw, like, a clip from it. But I think that series also had a Hutt Jedi. That's beyond the point. At some point, like, they talked about, like, the nursery, or the, what do you call it? The,
Rookery,
yes. For a Hutt egg. God damn it. If only somebody would have written about that, you know, on the internet. Let's see.
So, Hutt, apparently, though traditionally referred to as males, all members of the species are hermaphroditic. Personality type and gender roles are assumed voluntarily and upon a viewer's deduction. Upon becoming pregnant, Hutts are referred to as female, although some Hutts do not accept this and choose to retain their masculine persona, whereas others alternate between male and female character.
Oh, here we go. Hutts are naturally long-lived with a lifespan of up to 1,000 years, reproducing asexually and nursing their young in pouches, not unlike marsupials.
Ah.
An infant Hutt, known as a Huttlet, is the size of an orange when born and lives in the parents' pouch for 5 decades before becoming fully developed.
Wow.
And there's an accompanying picture of a Hutt fighting a Jedi with lightsabers.
The Hutt has lightsabers?
The Hutt has a lightsaber, and he's holding it with two hands.
Whoa.
And he's fighting a Jedi that he's like curling around. Now, you think this particular Jedi would turn around and just cut its tail off. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Huts are very long lived. You would think they'd be tougher to kill then if they were like so, you know, so long lived and sturdy, supposedly. But, you know, if a princess can strangle one with a chain, then whatever.
My people will, and I decided it was time for me to do so. Gilliac the Hutt about his being pregnant.
Yeah. I guess if you could reproduce asexually, I mean, like, you know, it's like, hey, time to do it. That would be an interesting thing for their genome, huh? Because their genes wouldn't spread that far apart. They'd be genetically identical to their parents, wouldn't they? It'd just be like, you know, I mean, it may manifest itself differently in the phenotype, but they'd basically look as much alike as you can look alike. Like, you'd look like a brother and sister would look.
Or don't be racist, man.
Huh?
All Hutts do not look alike.
I'm just wondering.
That's just, dude, that's such an easy... You need to get woke, James.
I'm just saying.
Hutts are individuals. It's like saying that you are just like your parents just because your father reproduced asexually and laid you as an orange.
And held me in his sack for 5 decades.
That's what it felt like. I came so hard. Like I've been saving it for 5 decades. Right up into your mother's uterus.
Boom. Just automatically right in the uterus.
Blam. That's your parents. They fucked, James.
Yeah, my parents fucked exactly 3 times.
Mine never did it.
Yeah.
So live with that.
Yeah, I gained weight when during your brother's pregnancy, even though he was adopted. Anyhow, I'm fine. Hutts. Yeah, I had something on my mind before I got sidetracked with the Hutt thing.
It does tend to sidetrack one. What were you thinking about, James?
Oh, a lot of things. See.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about the Solo movie and then Jizz and then I don't know. I was thinking about that song that the Size Noodles sings in Jabba the Hutt's mansion in Return of the Jedi, and like how like I know pretty much all the words to it, even though it's not in English or any language that's of this earth.
Yeah,
you know, and the fact that when you get enthusiastic about something when you're so young, you're like, you know, there's stuff that like soaks into your soul and you just never forget it. You know, I could sing Lofty Neck, you know, just pretty much any time. That would be like the ultimate song to sing on karaoke, though. Like a song. All right, everybody, sing with me. Ockle Tickle Fizzy. You know.
Well, you could do a whole night of songs that nobody really understands. Like, do that. Do 99 Zig Lift Balloons, Gangnam Style.
If you do it to a Klingon war song, then that would be awesome.
Style?
Huh?
I don't think you could sing a whole Klingon song without blowing your throat out.
Well, you know, if you sang it in a Klingon fashion, but if you just sing the words, you know, like Bakrak Dumo, Shoza Duro. Yaza K.O. Yaza K.O.
Okay, dude. So that you just picked the opening song. I've got a remix on one of my playlists, and it's like a dance remix, but not really. And it's Jean-Luc Picard singing something. He's like, "Yeah, we used to sing when we would drink," and he sings some song, but it's an English song. And then, like, there's Data singing a song with it, and they kind of go back and forth. And that song is in there. Whatever bullshit nonsense you were singing is part of it.
No, it's not bullshit. You know, I mean, when I first learned it, it was my mom told me it was a lullaby, but it is a warrior song. Yak-dok Dumo, fire streaks of heaven. Shojak Dumo, battle has begun. You know, it's like real shit, man. We people, we have forgotten ourselves. Our songs are not sung. Our stories are not told. We need to reclaim our Klingon heritage. I was born a Klingon, and I will die a Klingon. Oh, sorry. This is real life. I'm sorry. I'm just making shit up. I'm just playing.
Whatever works for you, James. That's fair. The more time I spend in virtual reality, the more I'm pretty sure this could be all simulation that we're just locked in. Because, like, what I've got right now is pretty primitive, you know, considering what it's going to be in like 10 years. Because we're already working on haptic shit, stuff like that. Like, there's somebody at, Consumer Electronics Show. They had a box, right? You plug it into your computer and it kicks out hot or cold air, depending on what your game's doing. So, like, let's say you're playing Doom and you're going through like a foundry or something in hell and it blows hot air at you. And then, like, if it feels like you go outside, it's cold, it'll switch to cold air. It's $200 for this little thing, but it's worth every penny if it does what they say it does. You know, that's a whole other sensory thing. So, if we're all plugged into one big VR simulation, we don't know it. I mean, why would you? Especially if it's all Matrix shit, you grew up in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're good to go.
Like, this may be like a shitty concept. Like you know, it won't feel like the outside at all. But if you've never felt the outside, then you won't know the difference.
Right?
Yeah.
And to explain why I sometimes get motion sickness for no reason.
Oh.
Because
they're shifting your pod somewhere.
Or like my inner ear is not catching up with the motion I'm doing. Like I get motion sickness really easy. Like if I just spin around a couple times, that's it. I'm about to barf. I got nothing going on there. Yeah. And with VR, like I picked up a game called Battlezone. Battlezone is
it's like the tank game.
Yeah. But you're in the, you know, this is full immersion VR, you're in it, but they kept the vector graphics and stuff kind of updated a little bit.
Oh, so it's like being inside the Tron universe.
Yes, very much. And it's awesome. So you're like driving around, you can look, you know, you're looking at the sides of the tank and stuff like that, and you move, it's like a hover tank, so it moves real smooth. But you turn your head too many times and all of a sudden you're like, all right, I'm gonna throw up. I don't need a break. I can do like 2 or 3 matches and then I gotta stop. Because I'm like, okay, I think I would throw up in my lap. Gross.
It was gross.
I was playing Resident Evil 7 in VR, and that's intense. Because it's pretty good. Like, they did a pretty good job with it, and you do the whole game in VR. So, like, shit's... This is different. It's different from any other Resident Evil game I've played in that... Like, you are... Okay, so you're in a mansion, right? Mm-hmm. But I haven't opened any secret pathways into giant labs or anything. And there aren't a bunch of monsters. There's just this, like, crazy redneck family. You're in Louisiana. In some non-existent parish in Louisiana. And you're exploring this old rotten house. And there's just a bunch of crazy rednecks trying to kill you. So it's a whole other level. And they're undead. That's the other thing. Like, one of them lit himself on fire. And he came back later to keep killing me. Like, it's fucked up. And I can play it in short bursts because I yell at the TV. But yeah, it's just me with the headset on and earphones. So Carol can see what I see on the TV screen. She see what I'm looking at. But the volume isn't up, so she just hears me yelling. And she thinks it's fucking hilarious.
I can't imagine why.
Because I'm like, fuck off! Fuck all you motherfucker! The fuck down. Get the fuck down. Fuck you. Fuck you. Like, and she's just dying laughing. There's a lot of like jump scares, which can wear on one.
Yeah, quite right. I went to Chewbacca's this last Saturday.
Yeah, how was that?
It was pretty cool. It's my third, fourth Chewbacca's. Yeah, because I went to one before I got to, before I started living in New Orleans. But yeah, it was cool. you know, they got like, it's all for the most part, you know, human powered stuff. They had, you know, people walking or like pushing or like having contraptions that where you could pedal. Some of them like pedaled to power. Like there was one that was like a cart that was like, you know, had like 8 people pedaling on it, but it like powered an electric battery. So it was actually an electric car, but it was like powered by people. And like, of course, the decorations that everyone put on, the themes of all the floats had some, you know, sci-fi overtones for the most part. There were ones that were like dressed up like Firefly characters and some like Doctor Who characters and some like, you know, Star Wars characters, of course, it being Chewbacca. Lots of Sith and Stormtroopers and Princess Leia. So it was pretty cool. And lots of glitter. I was like doused in glitter standing on the side of the road watching people like, do all this stuff. Apparently a glitter bomb went off next to me and I didn't realize it, and I was like sparkling like a goddamn Twilight vampire. Yeah, but that's the thing about Mardi Gras season. There's like fucking parades like every fucking day, and some of them are cool, but like after a while, do I really need to be around 20 parades? No. And I don't understand why my this beer is great. Why my friends going to go to like, you know, parades every fucking night, like every fucking night. I'm like, why? We go to a few. It's good.
Dude, I'm good with like one, maybe. Yeah. And that's like if, hey, we're going to drive you there and we have a spot that's really nice you can hang out in. You know, and then here's beverages and food. And you can go inside if you want. Like, even then, I was like, ah.
Yeah, and I don't want to catch anything. Like, there's like purses and shoes and compacts and all this, like, and beads upon beads upon beads. They just pulled like 40 tons of beads out of the New Orleans sewers. Do we really need, like, is this just not a sign to say, like, hey, maybe we should lay off the beads?
Or make them out of something that is like sugar based so that they
dissolve after a while?
They melt.
Yeah. But I mean, this is blasphemy for, you know, someone who lives in New Orleans. Like, what? You don't love the parades? 46 tons of Mardi Gras beads found in clogged catch basins. 46 Jesus. Tons. And this is, you know, this is a town that is, you know, having drainage fucking problems. And we're still like, hey, let's have another Mardi Gras. Let's throw more beads, more beads, more beads. That's the answer to everything. More beads, more parades, more beads.
Maybe if they made them out of Drano.
Oh my god, that's brilliant.
Maybe not like all of them.
But no, like, but like each little bead was like, you know, like the outside was such that if you kept it submerged for a certain amount of time, it would dissolve. And then like you've got capsules of Drano on the inside of that.
Yeah. All it would take is one idiot kid eating them, though. I don't know. Is there like a Drano you can eat safely? Like Coca-Cola is supposed to help drain your clean your toilet.
That's true.
Maybe a little one string of beads. It's just little like water soluble capsules with Coca-Cola powder inside, like freeze dried Coca-Cola in there. So once it gets like down a drain, the little beads melt and whatever that other stuff is. I don't know. We're thinking way too hard about this. Are you high? Some kind of I feel like I'm high.
You know, I am not too distant from that feeling. The last time I was high on legal medication, I had this feeling in my head, like my brain was doing like an astral thing. You know, like when you in Doctor Strange, anytime you see like a telepath leave his body and like, you know, just kind of like wander around or do other stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I felt like my brain was just like kind of like slowly moving out of the front of my head. Like my perception was leaving my body. It wasn't like whooshing off to do stuff. It was just kind of like, you know, stretching out, kind of like, you know, an alien, like doing a slow motion chest burst, except, you know, it was like a face burst out of my face. You know, sometimes I start talking and I wonder like why I started those particular sentences, because this statement, these words are not going to go into a place that I'm like really comfortable sharing with people. But, you know, these are a lot of times they're memorable moments to talk about. But I've already said it twice, even. The explanation of what I was explaining was not great about explaining. And now I'm doing it again. This is meta. I'm going to stop now.
So, James Brown, you were doing illegal drugs, and you felt like you you felt like you were leaving your body.
I didn't say illegal drugs. I didn't say anything about illegal drugs. I had some painkillers from when I hurt myself.
I'm putting all that together. I had some illegal drugs.
This is your counselor, Mr. Black.
I didn't say anything about painkillers. I had illegal drugs. I was talking about illegal drugs. I haven't done illegal drugs in so long.
Well, partner, that's too long.
Yeah. I'm putting my head around it. Like, it's a weird... I've been kind of reflective about, like, you know, like... So at the theater, you have people of all ages, right? Kind of like you have at any community thing, like a church or... I guess you deal with it more as, you know, as a teacher, you know, like you were around kids. But, like, you see them hitting milestones, and you remember when you hit that milestone, and you're like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't do that. And they're like, fuck you. And you're like, man. Yeah, I know, like, five people that did what you were thinking about doing and then how it didn't work out later. But you're right. Fuck me. What do I know? It's a weird place. It's fun being on this part of it. Because there's a lot of shitty kids out there, and I'm just like, you know, when I was little, my mom told me guys like you were gonna, like, you know, it wasn't gonna go well, and I was like, yeah, whatever, that'll take forever. And then, like, recently, some of those have paid back. You know, like, yeah. There was a guy a couple years ago who was kind of a dick. He ended up getting shot by the cops. There was a girl that was, like, really, really pretty and, like really bitchy about it. Like, you know, like one of those people that, like, knows how really hot they are and just uses it awfully. And right. Then I saw her recently and she looked, like, awful. And I was just like, wow. Like, beauty doesn't fade harder than it does from somebody who, like, used it as a weapon, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like, shocking. Like, so I was like, hi. And she was like, oh, hello. Like, she knew. She was like, hello. I'm getting by on my personality now.
That'll learn you.
Yeah. And then I saw that same kind of person later. Like, so if you have, let's say you have that person that was, like, really attractive when they were young. And was a dick, right? And then you meet him after that goes away, and they're, like, morose about it and all depressed. And, well, I met another version of that person at, like, 60 that kind of changed. Okay. Well, they, like, this lady changed and has evolved really in the past few years to be nice. Like, she's very aware of who she is and what she is and what she was. And has become just the nicest person.
So that's how it should be, right?
Yeah. So it's, like, taken a while, but I think this person is really becoming a good person. And it's an interesting evolution to see. But she's very sincere about it. You know? And a lot of people are very cynical. It's that whole Clockwork Orange thing. Where, like, you have somebody that's, like, genuinely interested in change, and you're wondering, will society allow this person to change? And I think there's a couple people that have known this person for a very long time, and they're mixed. Some of them are accepting, and they're doing the whole thing that we learned to do when we're growing up, you know, that we're told to do. Forgive, yes. Somebody's really awful to you, and they really want forgiveness, you're supposed to forgive them no matter how awful they are. You know, some people are on that side, and other people are like, yeah, fuck them. They're reaping what they sowed.
Yeah.
The compassion's hard for
it assholes. It is. It also can be, you know, depends on, like, it means more to forgive someone who has been directly, like, you know, vicious to you. Like, if you just see them, like, being vicious in the world in general, and, like, you know, vicious in this case meaning, like, full of vice and full of things that are not virtues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when it's, like, you're the victim of it, when you're the one that gets bullied or you're the one that gets taken advantage of or abused in whatever manner, you know, it takes a lot. What the fuck are we talking about now?
How huts reproduce.
All right. Asexual. Who came up with the idea of asexual reproduction?
Your wife.
Carol hasn't seen that movie.
No?
No, and I think it's one she's got to see before we go see Ready Player One.
Yes, I was about to say that. It's like, that's a big part of Ready Player One. So
in the book, but I don't know how much of, like, I think it's going to follow the book story-wise, but I think they've changed a lot.
Oh, obviously.
If I had to add a lot, because otherwise it's interesting to guys our age, maybe not so much everybody else.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So you have to add, like, when Carol and I watched the trailer together, Iron Giant is obviously there.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, Iron Giant. I'm like, yeah, that's Iron Giant, I guess. And... You know, they had the scene in the new trailer with the Gundam doing the Gundam thing where it's like up in the air, shing, you know.
Right.
Like, does the pose perfect. I think that's going to substitute for Ultraman.
The two Japanese guys. Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to use the Gundam instead of Ultraman.
Right.
In that scene, because Ultraman is not, it's been so long that Ultraman, if you know Ultraman, you know it because you saw it on TV when you were a kid. Or you're a fan of the genre, you know, it's not as big here. But you still need something like awesome in Japanese. So Gundam, Justice Gundam, bam! Or is that Toggies? Yeah, yeah. I think it's Toggies. But yeah, that, and then like they've got the chick from Overwatch.
Yeah, she's like all over the place.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of departures. I'm going to go into it, you know, with that in mind. Like, it's not going to be like the book. What's the point of seeing if it's just the book on screen? Let's enjoy the movie for what it is. There we go. Try not to tell Carol all the differences while the fucking movie's on. We have shit.
Well, Jane has read the book, so when we go see it, she will recognize that there are differences from the book, but she may not recognize what the new thing is. Like, I'm pretty sure she doesn't know it, you know, anything about who the new person is, or you know, the like Overwatch girl woman is.
Tracer.
Yes. See, I didn't know her name, but I recognize her from, I've seen Overwatch trailers, and you know, I like am around people that have that on display.
Yeah, I haven't played Overwatch. It became like this whole league now. You know, it's like a big thing. I played the beta. It's fun, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Just when the games get really, really competitive like that, they're not interesting to me. It's like, I don't want to hop in. Like, I don't want to get that good at it. I want to play a game and then move on.
I'm also, yeah, I don't want to feel obligated to play against real people, you know? Like, if I want to enjoy a world, like, I don't want to submerge myself in it. I don't want to feel obligated to like have to interact with people.
I know precisely what you mean.
Yeah.
I like an offline component. There are games I have to play online with people, and then there are games that I just want to play with myself all the time. I think that's as good a place to end as any.
Yeah, sounds like it.
All right, dude. Well, I will see you next week. With that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And you have been dorked.
Dork, 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 dork.
Dork. Dork. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I finally got caught up with work last week. I've been buried for the last 6 months, and I finally am caught up, which means I can kind of start planning, you know, my free time, and so I'm starting to go back to the gym.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I plan on going to gym like 3 or 4 times during Mardi Gras week. I get the entire week off.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
I get Monday.
Will you do anything fun?
No. Well, no, I take that back. Probably gonna do Carol. Later, folks.
Later.